Oh, yeah. You know when a show starts like that, that something big happened, and it did. Dan Hansis with Mark Sessler and Greg Rosenthal. Connie Fox is going to join us in a few minutes, but let's start with the big news. Carson Palmer, Arizona Cardinals, no more. The quarterback has decided to retire after 15 seasons. He makes the announcement with an open letter to fans that reads, in part, "Over the years, I've had teammates who decided to hang it up, and I would ask them how they knew when it was time to walk away. The answer was almost the same, always the same. You just know. For me, that time is now. Why? Quite simply, Mark, I just know." Shocked?
No. 38 years old. Tied at the hip with Bruce Arians. And with Arians' departure, are you going to stick around with the Cardinals or go somewhere else, have to completely reboot offensively in terms of scheme? And, you know, you're coming off multiple injuries over the last couple years for this guy. I just think that Palmer's sort of a chill dude, too, who's kind of ready to say, yep, I'm ready to go.
Southern California boy, for sure.
I mean, he made a lot of money. He was the number one overall pick before the rookie draft scale came into effect. He was the highest paid player in the league for a time on his second contract. A really good career, top 15 all-time in passing yards and I believe, touchdown. But unfortunately, I'll kind of remember it for some what-ifs. You know, what if he doesn't tear his ACL in the 2005 playoffs? That was definitely the best Bengals team of my lifetime. I thought they had a chance to make a run at a Super Bowl that year. I think that was also the best he ever played. I thought he was the third best quarterback in the league behind Brady and Manning at that time. And then you think of 2014 when he was 6-0 as the Cardinals starter and he tore his ACL a second time. The great thing is that he did come back and play very well the next year, and he did kind of get that, hey, I'm going to win a playoff game. I'm going to have a nice little run as an elder statesman.
I mean, I also remember him basically in 2010 saying, or 2011, I'm willing to retire right now and sit on my couch because I refuse to play for the Bengals anymore.
He was like Chris Wesseling 12 years later. He just could not stand the Bengals anymore. He was done with football if he couldn't get out of it.
The Bengals, the pit stop with the Raiders, traded to the Cardinals and with Bruce Arians, who we're going to get to in a little bit, who's also leaving football, really revitalized his career. And yeah, that 2006 knee injury, forever in every Cincinnati football fan's mind, the name Kimo von Olhoffen is burned into it. It was his low hit that really pulverized Palmer's knee. It was thought at the time potentially to be a career-ending injury. It was that serious. He made it back and had a really great – is he a Hall of Famer?
It took him – you know, the, when he came back, though, it took him a while to get really back up to speed. Do you think
right.
– do I think he's a Hall of Famer? No, I don't think he'll have much of a chance
at the
Hall of Fame. I don't think he'll even really – get seriously discussed for that.
And I think if you're a fan of, if you remember the All or Nothing season, the first season of that show, which is essentially Hard Knocks but blown up to a full season, they documented that 2015 Cardinals team, which was the closest ultimately he ever got to the promised land, got to the NFC title game, and then just couldn't hang. They got overmatched in the NFC title game. But it was a great career for Palmer, but maybe it didn't reach – quite the heights coming into the league as a prodigy and a guy you thought could be multiple championships type of quarterback.
He would have had to come out of this with a couple Super Bowl titles, and that you're so right, Greg, that 2005 season, I don't know if Pittsburgh with Big Ben wins that Super Bowl if that injury hadn't occurred.
I mean, that was a
sensational Bengals team.
And in my head, I'm thinking, okay, tore his ACL in 2014. That was a shame. But he did come back and lead the league in yards per attempt, the only time he ever made an all-pro team. They won that exciting playoff game over the Packers. So it's not like he really seemed that effective. He was very good under Bruce Arians, that's part of Arians' legacy, too, is he brings out the best in these guys.
And speaking of Cincinnati, his old coach, Carson Palmer's old coach, Marvin Lewis, we thought his forever run in Cincinnati was going to end, and that is the other big piece of breaking news. This all came out, as you may suspect. We taped earlier today. We have to get this out there before the show went live. So Marvin Lewis is back, and we wish Chris Wesseling was here just to get Wes's reaction to it. Wes never bought into the fact that Marvin Lewis could leave. And guess what? Marvin Lewis, against the odds, is back for, what is this, his 500th season? 15th? Something like that? Somewhere in between.
16th season coming up.
Mike Brown.
How did he do it?
Well,
How did he survive,
Marvin
Lewis
is an idiot.
It's amazing.
He's not an idiot.
Wes was right. He's like, Bengals are different. Mike Brown, you don't know. That's my Damashek doing an impression of Wes' impression. It's crazy because the exact same thing happened back in 2011 where he got to the end of his contract. Everyone said that he was going to leave, and then they ended up, I think, sort of doing this dance, and according to what Ian Rappaport reported, where they kind of looked at outside candidates or possibly people that could come in, and Lewis was maybe going to take some interviews, and then they just kind of looked around and was like, I guess we're just better off together. That seems better.
Well, I think they were waiting to see if there was any chance that Jay Gruden was ever let go. And, well, Rappaport also noted that Lewis – had heard from another team with a vacancy wanting him as their head coach. I'd love to know who that was.
And they were, you know, potential on fire about, we got to get Hugh Jackson, we got to get the 1-31 guy in the building.
Well, I want to know how real that was.
This is not going to be popular with Bengals fans because I know Marvin Lewis has had a good run overall, but they're tired of him. They're tired of these 15
with
years.
Good reason.
In the last 2 years.
It's been
years.
A long time.
And I get it. I always defend Marvin Lewis's track record, but sometimes it feels like your time is up, and it felt like that was it.
I think I know what Wes would say, but do you think that the last 2 weeks of their season, especially that win over Baltimore, changed anything in terms of his fate?
It could have. I mean, especially
it
the
shouldn't.
Nature
I don't
of
think
that
it
Week
shouldn't.
17 game. It shouldn't, but I'm wondering if that joyfulness from the way they ended the season, if that maybe put things over the hump. I wouldn't put it past.
Maybe the football gods simply won't allow Dom Capers and Marvin Lewis to be killed in the same season.
I do.
Dom Capers is dead?
I do think back to the fact
career-wise.
That, you know, 2 weeks ago on this podcast and on national television, both ESPN and our network reported that Marvin Lewis had mutually agreed to part ways, and Marvin Lewis was on the record talking with Ian Rappaport about possibly looking
pretty
at
solid.
GM jobs elsewhere, and I do think it might have been Marvin Lewis's way of, I don't know, I mean, I'm just speculating, but his way of kind of saying to Bengals ownership, like, he wasn't happy with how talks were going at the time, like, all right, I'm leaving. If that's what you want, I'm leaving. Like, that was his public way of doing that, and then the Bengals respond, maybe give him a little more of what he wants.
That's quite a bluff to call, though, by the way, but, when you're, like, 5-8.
Well, it's not a bluff, though. He was ready to leave, you know, if Brown didn't maybe change his mind, because when Lewis was asked about it, he said, well, I'd be open to it if certain things are
also,
or maybe a change of heart when he realized suddenly I'm not going to be a coach anymore and I still want to be.
Maybe when he had that really awkward high 10 with Andy Dalton after they beat the Ravens, it all clicked that he wanted to stay.
Wow.
By the way, Ian Rappaport,
sorry, Bengals fans,
reported on our air that other teams were poking around the idea of Marvin Lewis as a head coaching option.
We did mention.
Did you guys talk that?
We did.
All three of us have now said that.
Okay, good. It's all covered. And one more thing before we get the show started. Circling back to the Carson Palmer situation, you wonder if Larry Fitzgerald now follows Cousin Brucey and QB1 out the door.
Right.
It is a time of change for the Cardinals, who came close, but now they have to start something new. All right. That's it. That's breaking news. Hopefully we don't have to do this again before the show goes live. Now let's send it to us and Connie for the rest of the show.
The Around the NFL podcast is close to finalizing an extension through 2024.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. No way. Presented by Head & Shoulders. My name is Dan Hansis, and I'm joined by a room filled with heroes in 2018, Mark Sessler, Colleen Wolf, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, people?
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey.
We will definitely have fractured and split apart either by our own will and human quirks or by the company's will by 2024, and much sooner, I would imagine.
That reminds me of our flight back from the owners' meetings, I think, three or 4 years ago, Mark, and we were just kind of talking about the future of the podcast, and he was just like, I don't know if we're going to all be able to, like, keep it together. Like, the egos are going to get too big. I was like, what are you talking about? We were in a podcast.
I'm dead accurate about that. It's
only
going
6 years
to
away, 2024.
Just wait. Colleen Wolf, today's your birthday.
It is.
How about that? Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Woo!
And we're excited because you are, you know, you're turning an age.
I'm 33.
33, by the way.
Yep.
Save it for the theology podcast.
Jesus year.
And he didn't make it out of it.
No, I've already done something more than Jesus had.
So you,
wow. You feel like you've made more of an impact Larry Bird than Jesus on the earth. Interesting.
No, I've just lived
and
until
we're saying
33.
The podcast characters don't have any ego issues.
You also you share a birthday with Debbie Rosenthal, my mom.
So Deb.
Shout out to Debbie, who listens to every show.
Shouts
happy
to
birthday.
Deb.
Happy birthday, right, Deb. And Cuba Gooding Jr.
And Cuba.
What a trio.
I saw a bombed Cuba Gooding Jr. walking out of a diner at the Super Bowl. It was me, Connor, and Ali. We were walking out of diner. What city was that? It was like 3 years ago. But anyway, Cuba was all crunked up.
Really?
Yeah. He was having a good time.
I think it was San Francisco.
San Francisco. That's what it was.
Oh, God.
All right. Never mind that.
Anyway.
Big show.
Big show today. Coming up on today's show, so much to get to. A big news show because, first, there's a GM shocker that came down late Monday, someone that has been reassigned, always ominous. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, we're checking in on some butts, little butt check for coaches. Some are off the hot seat because they're, you know, on the unemployment line. That's just the nature of the game.
Mm. It just got too hot.
Yeah, it got too hot. They had to hop off. And, yes, it's that time of year. Always the first show after our Week 17 wrap-up, we check in and do some housekeeping with a go get my lunch, regular season predictions, who owes sandwiches, ooh, there it is, who doesn't owe sandwiches, who is the grand champion of the regular season, and you may be surprised by the winner this year.
Really?
Right.
Or you I may like be that not surprised.
You do like it. Good. Anyway, so let's get to it. And behind the glass today, our regular producer, Lindsay Fulton, is back in the land. That's Cleveland.
Yes, it is.
So behind the glass is a woman who I have been attempting to recruit for years now for a podcast. One day I will be successful. I know who was successful in recruiting Emma VP, that beau of hers, because she's engaged.
Hey, guys.
How you doing, Emma?
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Congrats to you. Thanks,
yeah, you guys. Finally got the call up to the big podcast. What a big news for you.
Yeah, big news of 2018.
Your ring is so
sparkly.
Let's see
the ring.
Thank you.
Nice. And you want to hear the real move. Does your fiance listen to the podcast you do?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, he's not going to listen to this one.
He is moving here.
What?
Nice.
And that is, you want to talk about the future is female? Bang. Get out here. We're starting a life in California, man.
It's called the Colleen Wolf move.
That's right. Yep.
You did it too.
That's what John did.
Hold the wolf.
The wolf.
Yep.
Did it come
Good
as
job.
A surprise, or did you like? Is you guys have like steady talks for months and years? Hey, when I come home for this break, you're gonna do this, and I'll say yes.
It's all choreographed.
No, it was a surprise. We definitely talked about it, but the whole proposal was a surprise.
Glad it went well.
Oh,
I don't. But I don't buy the. Was there a discussion about where we're gonna end up together? Because I feel like Emma was like, you want to make this happen? Get your ass out here.
That's for sure.
I mean, he lives in Philly still, right? Or around Philly?
He lives in Philly, yeah.
Yeah, it is cold. It's really cold there. I almost said a bad word. It is, like, of course he's going to move here. It's so much nicer.
All right, so a lot to celebrate. It's a new year. Colleen is letting us know that it's cold on the East Coast.
It's freezing, everyone.
Colleen is 33. Emma is getting married. Christian told us
year.
Before the show that he was friends with Paul Thomas Anderson back in the day. Wow, so much out there. Deb Rosenthal's birthday.
Woo!
Let's do some news.
Capricorns.
Andy Dalton takes the snap. Steps up, fires down the middle, complete. At the 15, 10, 5, touchdown,
oh
Cincinnati.
Dan is obsessed with that.
The headset being thrown to the counter will never not be funny
God.
To me.
Stan White.
Stan
wow.
White.
Ex-Colts linebacker Stan White loses it in a big spot.
Come on, you White.
That's got to go in your calls, right?
Yes, it's been close.
I mean,
that's number one.
Wow.
Well, we don't want to jump to conclusion. We have to go through all of them, Greg. And then the first show after the Super Bowl, we will reveal
the top
10 calls.
This show's all about hot takes. That's my hot take.
All right. I like that. I like that. All right. But so much news to get to. And let's start with comings and goings. And here's a going. Bruce Arians, after 5 years as the head coach of the Cardinals, this was percolating for a while. In fact, I don't want to, you know, say nothing. I don't want to talk out of school here, you know. But the old ATN Media Insider had a conversation back in early September, and I said on this podcast that there was no chance that Bruce Arians returned. That this was it. Soak that in, Greg.
I don't remember that.
Dan, you break so much information. I don't understand why you left the news division of our
It's hard. It's just hard to keep up with it all, I think.
Yeah. I get it. But Arians is done. This was his last year. He had a emotional news conference making the announcement, and first he described, or during the press conference, he described why he was leaving his post. Let's hear what Bruce had to say.
The tears you see are really tears of joy and peace. I'll miss the players. I'll miss coming out of the locker room hearing the national anthem because it still gets me. But somehow, some way, I'm going to be in touch with the game. I'm not leaving the Valley.
And if you know anything about the life of an NFL head coach from a distance like us, but you still know how much hours they put in, Bruce had something of a come-to-Jesus, come-to-Colleen type moment during a conversation with his wife. He also talked about that.
Probably one of the hardest things for me this year was sitting at the lake this summer, and Chris said, you know Jake's going to be 40?
His son.
And, I mean, it hit me like a ton of bricks that I missed all that time.
Oh, God, I'm going to cry.
And that's coaching.
There you go. So Bruce Arians ends, Greg, what was a great run with the Cardinals. They never got over the hump, never quite got to the Super Bowl, but 49-30-1. Got to the NFC title game, made the playoffs twice, and Arians is out.
And what a gift that he got this opportunity, that we got to see him as a head coach, that his players got to know him as a head coach, because it could have easily have never happened. A career assistant who got his first chance at 60, a guy who won Coach of the Year for two different franchises.
Yep.
Was that back-to-back years? I think
within 3 years.
Within 3 years. Yeah. I mean, that's... it's just an insane run, and he just seemed like when he wrote a really great book with Lars Anderson called The Quarterback Whisperer, and in that book he telegraphed pretty clearly he thought this was going to be his last year just because he thinks there's more to life, and props to him. I hope he has a great – and I think he's going to – I have a sense he'll be in the media, so I don't think we're going to lose Bruce Arians. Ian said that he's hired a media agent.
What if he takes the spot of John Gruden?
That would be great. And we're going to get to Gruden in a second, but that Monday Night Post is about to open up. He even made a winking reference in the press conference.
Yep.
He said, you know, I even love working with you guys, referring to the media. Maybe I'll be on your side or something like that. So expect him to pop up either on a pregame show or maybe even in a booth. We shall see.
I asked him one time. You go to these owners' meetings. You mentioned the owners' meetings. That they have a chance to sit down where they're eating breakfast, and there aren't that many people there, and you can sit with these coaches for 30 minutes if you want. And I'll never forget Arians just eating this giant plate of like eggs and bacon, and we were just talking about like stuff over a little bit off the topic of football. It was the thing was wrapping, and I asked him what he would do if he wasn't a coach, and he talked about he loves teaching and he wants to always be around the environment of teaching and counseling. And I honestly think that if it's not broadcasting, that he's going to continue to work with people for the rest of his life, because he had incredible passion to talked about his players over and over, and his players that he coached 20 years ago who are now in their 40s and aging, and they still have that tight relationship. I think he's a lifer in terms of working and mentoring people.
And he's going to do a lot of charity work. That's what he was referencing in the bit we played. He's going to stay in the Sun Valley, and he's got a lot of charity work. I got a chance to talk to him at the All or Nothing premiere in downtown L.A., and he was belly up to the bar and a very, very, very real person.
Yeah.
Very true to himself, obviously, and kind of a naturally charismatic guy. It's going to be at the Combine this year.
That's what I was
thinking. No Bruce
too.
Arians. Ted Thompson we're about to get to. He was always one of my favorite guys with his dry sense of humor. He will not be at a podium this year. These are the type of guys you want around in the NFL.
Yeah.
And when they kind of take a step out of these roles, it does hurt the coverage angle.
Seeing him and Sean Payton drinking together at the bar. There's only like one bar that everybody goes to in Indy, and it was like you would automatically see those two together or at like the cigar bar together. But just hearing him talk, he's so genuine, and you can obviously see it from the tears that he's shedding and when he's talking about his family, and you can tell that he's a family guy. And I think that translates so much with the players because he seems like a dad.
Yeah,
like I feel like he's a dad. He's the coach that if I could have a beer with any coach, it would be Bruce Arians.
Well, yeah. Now he has time to do that with you. I mean, Wes loves him to death, too. I wish Wes were here to talk about him. But I think he's an example of someone, when you find your opportunity later in life, he absolutely knew who he was. And that's why we got this Bruce Arians, who was so honest and real and not someone that I think if you're into it early, it can change you.
Right. He was a great example that I hope other coaches follow. I don't think they will. He gave more information to the media and was just himself than any coach. And it's not like it hurt him at all. He had an incredible career and an incredible run lifting up this Cardinals team. He also changed the career of Peyton Manning. He changed the career of Ben Roethlisberger. He changed the career of Andrew Luck. And then he changed this franchise in Arizona.
Carson Palmer.
And spinning forward, the Cardinals have put in a request to interview Vikings offensive coordinator and former Browns head coach Pat Shurmur, that according to Rap Sheet. So things are going to be different around the Cardinals and probably not quite as fun.
They have a bunch of requests.
Yeah, I think Mike Munchak is
Matt
one
Patricia,
of them.
Jim Schwartz.
They're looking.
Your boy Brian Flores. The Patriots could lose all sorts of coaches. Okay. Greg, get ready.
I'll get to it.
I'm really sad about this one. I'm sad that he's out.
Yeah.
Bruce Arians. Why don't you
should call him up and have a chat.
Why is it so cold in Philadelphia, too?
It's freezing there.
Ted Thompson, who has been the general manager of the Packers since 2005. A lot of people view Thompson as one of the best in the business. Well, he's no longer going to be in that role in what would, let's say, bombshell announcement by the Packers. He will be transitioning from GM and director of football ops to a senior advisor to football operations, which is pretty nebulous. The team announced Tuesday. Thompson's greatest move ever, of course, was selecting Aaron Rodgers when he fell in the first round of the 2005 draft. And he obviously benefited from 12 years of Rodgers' greatness, or once Rodgers got in, he still had Brett Favre for a while there. However, Greg, the idea that Thompson, and maybe it came through this year, we don't know the whole story here, but maybe it came through that at a certain point, if Aaron Rodgers goes out, you shouldn't be the worst team in football. How much do you think that could have played into the fact that they just seem to be so vulnerable if the greatest quarterback in the league is not healthy?
I think it was a big factor that the lack of depth that they had. They did dive into free agency a little more over the last few years, but I think that frustrated some people around Green Bay. And the reason I say that is because Bob McGinn, the veteran reporter who covered them for a long time, now has his own online website, said the board of directors pushed him out. So that's his report, that they instructed the CEO to push him out. It mentioned some health issues with him, perhaps. And even more interestingly, I think the article suggests that the change in GM, and it's expected to be an in-house candidate. And he has a lot of guys, including Elliot Wolf, Ron Wolf's old, his son, who is the guy who trained Ted Thompson. It suggests that Mike McCarthy might not be safe with the new general manager
coming.
Whoa.
Well, I do think it's going to be an in-house candidate. And our own Gil Brandt passed on a little nugget this morning to me.
Gil Brandt also wished them a VP a happy engagement.
Gil Brandt's all over the place. He's got a lot of handlers.
Okay,
how does that guy do it?
So they have Elliot Wolf, who's their director of football ops, and they have this guy, Brian Gutekunst, who is apparently they both interviewed last year for the Niners GM spot, didn't get it. But everyone knows Ron Wolf, so everyone talks about Elliot Wolf nonstop as this future wonder boy. But everyone talked about Brian Gutekunst as the guy who knocked the interview out of the park. And Elliot Wolf is still a guy who is young and learning and has a ways to go. So I wouldn't assume it's Wolf that just steps into that role, despite the lineage with the Packers.
I'm rooting for Wolf, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. I never underestimate a Gutekunst.
Yeah, well, that's... I know.
I mean,
who cares? Oh, Brian Gutekunst. No, it's got to be Elliot Wolf. Well, don't downsize
Gutekunst over Wolf.
I am so intrigued by the idea that Mike McCarthy could be out there, because that is a sea change. I mean, Thompson, his first draft pick was Aaron Rodgers. He made a lot of great draft picks over the years, especially at wide receiver and the offensive line. I mean, he took some guys in the fourth round that turned into all
good
pro.
Good job.
he did a great job, but it kind of eroded the last 3 or 4 years if you look at their draft. And I just love the idea of maybe Aaron Rodgers getting a different coach for
Wow, that would be crazy.
You're hot about that. You're hot in the pants about that.
I just think it would be a good story.
That's a weird turn of phrase.
I don't agree with that at all.
Dan, in our current environment, I would suggest new phrasing.
I just got some hot pants about it. That's all. Not a hot butt. You do the math.
I don't need to do math around that area. Thank you.
In other news, the Raiders are very confident. They will replace Jack Del Rio, who they let go on after Sunday's Week 17 finale, with John Gruden, the ownership. That, according to Rap Sheet, and as Greg said, I can't remember, Greg, if you said it at the beginning of today's show or before we started rolling, so I'll just add a quote from Gruden. My understanding is that they're interviewing candidates this week, and they're going to let everybody know sometime early next week or whenever they make their decision. I am being considered. Yes, I hope I'm a candidate. Did you say that before the show or during the show?
It was before we started.
Oh, good.
Gruden said it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gruden.
Okay.
Yeah. But
he hopes he's a candidate.
Okay.
Pronouns.
Greg!
They have to go through this whole charade of interviewing coaches and pretending.
I love how you say
charade.
He's not the guy. Meanwhile, John Gruden's going to be announcing a game this weekend, including his old buddy Andy Reid, who he's going to likely be coaching against next year in the AFC West.
Greg is very concerned
about this. You were hot in the pants about that, too.
Yeah, Greg is very concerned about Gruden announcing this game on the weekend. I don't think it's a big deal, but
no.
I mean, he's still he hasn't flipped jobs yet.
It's like
a Russian spy in 1960.
It's just strange that everyone's going to pretend that this all hasn't already happened.
That's
true. It has. It's like, just pay the Rooney Rule fine. That's an option. You don't have to go through this whole...
Yeah. I feel like it's really, though, incredible, because every year John Gruden rumors fly, and this is finally one that's actually real.
Although Ian Rappaport noted that there was a moment last year where John Gruden, Peyton Manning, and Jim Irsay were on a plane, and they thought when that plane landed, there was going to be an agreement where Peyton Manning was the general manager of the Colts and John Gruden was the coach, and he backed out of that agreement. So you never know. You never know if he could just change his mind if ESPN offered him $13 million a year or whatever the hell. I mean, who knows?
Well, we just talked about Arians. The lifestyle change of going from preparing each week to announce one game to suddenly becoming a head coach years after you were head coach. The game has changed a lot. Do you want it that bad? Why have you not wanted to coach in the time in between?
Remember back to Hard Knocks when he was it Hard Knocks this year? When he was in there talking to all the guys and like you could see how bad he wanted to coach again.
It's been on the wall all season, both from Hard Knocks all through the season on ESPN where he had 1 foot out of the studio. You knew this was coming.
Not to mention he loves Derek Carr. There's a clip of him doing the Derek Carr QB.
He loves every player.
He's like, I'll go get you. He's like, I pick you. It was like him talking about the difference.
Any job he took, we could point to 8 players that he loves, though. I mean,
I love this guy.
It is why.
I just want to know if you're that obsessed with coaching, think about one thing in your life that you're that obsessed about, why does nearly a decade pass before you take that opportunity?
Because now you're getting the best offer to coach the team that you had your greatest success or you really rose with, and you're getting an ownership stake. Potentially, which is like that's
but
god.
Other coaches just keep
and
grinding.
That's a godfather.
His youngest kid graduates high school this year.
There you go. It's not a one size fits all situation.
Yeah.
He climbed the mountain from his 20s.
Saw his
to
kids
his 40s.
Grow up a little bit. You're right.
He won a Super Bowl and then he decided to step away. Made millions calling games on Monday night, and now he's got the itch again.
For what it's worth,
I don't see that as like a negative. Do you?
Absolutely no. I mean, I think his final
6 years in Tampa were a negative, where they didn't have an above-average passing game at any point.
I think people forget
now
about that.
Now he has a quarterback. The one thing that everyone assumed, though, was that the Raiders only would make this move if it was agreed to. And from the reporting that Steve Wyche and others have done, Jack Del Rio was getting fired anyways. That was a ship going downhill. And he said in that locker room, not a lot of tears were shed when Jack Del Rio was let go.
No, there was almost no reaction in the locker room. There's even some chuckling. Ship going downhill. I like that.
Ship going underwater.
Ship going downhill.
I mean, that's not what you want, is a ship going downhill.
No.
That's
so
weird.
You're right. Actually, you were right.
Dangerous.
You definitely don't want that. Moving on. By the way, hey, Emma, lifestyle changes. We were just talking about your fiance coming out west. Do you think he'll be able to hit
the
ground
running? He can burn all of his jackets.
Do you think he'll be intimidated by this fresh start and you being the breadwinner and all that?
I don't think so. I think we're going to make it work.
Okay.
I think it'd be great to have to marry into money as he is apparently. She's making all that cash loaded. It worked for Gonzo for a while. I never saw Gonzo in a more calm state.
Well, that's just Gonzo's resting. I don't know. I wonder why Gonzo's always so calm and relaxed.
It is weird, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Let's move on.
It's loaded. That's why.
Jim.
Yeah, right.
Jim Irsay. Jim Irsay is the owner of the Colts, and he fired his head coach, Chuck Pagano. So they are in the hunt for a coach. But, you know, everything around the Colts right now is about what's going on with Andrew Luck. Is he going to be ready? Is he going to still be Andrew Luck if he does come back after missing an entire season with a shoulder injury that just did not heal the way anyone had hoped? Irsay spoke on Monday, and this is what he had to say about Luck. He's very optimistic.
I have no doubt in my mind that Andrew is going to come back. And when I talk about the look in his eye, when I talk about the temperature of 107 of a fierceness, I am telling you that that kid is a special kid. Special. He was born to do great things in the National Football League.
Why 107?
And he will do great things in the National Football League.
All right.
The 107 was a reference to something he said earlier where he says, you don't know the fire that's burning in number 12's eyes. You don't know what type of fever he has for success right now. It's a 107-degree fever.
Can I tell you something?
Right
just
now.
An FYI, you would be essentially
dead.
I just did some research.
He could shoot fireballs out of his eye. That
it's
would be
called
fun.
Hyperparexia, a fever that is equal to or above 106.7. This temperature is too high. It constitutes a medical emergency for the patient. So let's read between the lines here. What is he really saying?
Andrew Luck is in a
I hope Andrew Luck's okay.
He's in mortal danger.
Yeah.
Forget about the shoulder. His blood's boiling within him.
Whoa. Anyway, yeah.
Let's move on. Anybody? That was just interesting.
No. The only thing I was going to say is a lot of people are saying that this is like maybe the most attractive opening, one of them. But I'm not sure I really buy that just based on the division at this point now. And you look at Deshaun Watson coming back with the Texans and then the way that the Jags are right
it's
now.
Worth a shot, like, though. If you get a healthy
I don't know.
Luck.
You better
Ali's not
you
taking
better,
the job. Don't
you better
call.
Come in and win right away.
Guys.
You need to go to the playoffs right away.
One man whose butt no longer on fire because he hopped off the seat and onto the unemployment line, Jim Caldwell. The team announced early Monday morning, the team being the Detroit Lions, that general manager Bob Quinn informed Caldwell that he will not be returning as head coach. In addition to Caldwell, Quinn told Ron Prince, the offensive line coach, he won't be coming back. Sorry, Prince. And that's it. Quinn had this to say: "We didn't beat the real good teams. Our record was above average. We're 9-7 the last 2 years, but our record against the better teams in the league has not been that good." It's an interesting quote. Thoughts?
Well, it's crazy. They were 17-3, I think, against teams under 500, and something like 1-15. It's close to that against teams over 500.
So clearly, he says that we have the talent to be beating those teams. We just don't have the coach.
I think it's fair to say that Caldwell got a raw deal. He did a good job overall there, second highest winning percentage in team history, and that it totally makes sense to change coaches when you have a GM that's not aligned with his philosophy.
I think a GM that's under pressure to fix some long-standing issues with Detroit's roster. I mean, how about find a running game for the first time in our adult lives?
They're looking
that
at
would be too much.
They're looking at defensive coaches, though. The idea, it seems, is hire a coach that wants to keep Jim Bob Cooter in Detroit, which makes sense. You got a top 10 quarterback. Nothing else on the team is really very special. They're interviewing Matt Patricia, Steve Wilks from Carolina, Mike Vrabel, who I think is the guy to watch for that job, in all defensive coordinators.
Colts want Matt Vrabel, too.
Unless you're one of those upper echelon type coaches, a Bill Parcells type, it's hard to get a third job. But when you go back-to-back 9-7, then get fired, it's not like you're a John Fox scenario. Do you think Caldwell could get another head coach job down the line?
I think it's possible because, well, here's what I'd say. Pat Shurmur suddenly is another candidate who I thought never would get another
That's for number two.
Okay, but I'm just saying that Caldwell did not totally fail here.
That's what I mean.
That's fair.
He'll work for the rest for as long as he wants.
He'll be a coordinator.
If he coordinated a really top offense, you're right.
Rex Ryan made the point, and I thought it was astute, that you don't get a third job usually. If you don't like win a Super Bowl or do something special after your second job, it's very hard to get a hire.
North Turner did. Yeah, Wade and Phillips did.
In Caldwell, there's no drama. Rex Ryan doesn't, because there's a lot that comes with a Rex Ryan. Jim Caldwell does not bring any of that drama.
But he's almost on the other opposite.
He is, but some,
like, I don't want either side.
It's not going to be next year. It's just that, is it possible? Yes, it is.
John Fox also out as expected. The Bears.
He had a third try too.
Wow, you're so, right.
16 straight years for three different teams. Johnny Fox.
Yep. Yep. It's true.
Foxy.
The Bears announced that they have fired the head coach. Fox's firing was first reported by Rap Sheet. Nice job. Ian.
An excellent work by him.
Interesting name. Mm-hmm.
Working round the clock.
Ian's the interesting name?
Yeah, it's just like Ian. The Bears announced later Monday that GM Ryan Pace's contract has been extended through 2021. There was a tweet sent out by the Bears. We could maybe show it on our video show, which is on tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Thank you, John Fox, which if you click into that, you see what Bears think about that. Thank you. But I get it. Listen, he was the face of the franchise in some way, and it didn't work out. Fox is out of work. But the surprise, I think, a little bit, Connie, is that Ryan Pace is
he got
better
a contract
employed
extension
after this. And some people would say maybe Pace should have been going too.
Yeah. I mean, I guess they're obviously happy with Mitchell Trubisky. It seems like that was sort of a thing that the entire team, the coaching staff, seemed surprised about it. Like, it just didn't – it came out of nowhere when all of that went down at the draft. So I wouldn't be surprised if they brought in an – I think they have to bring in an offensive coach that is going to help develop Trubisky. And, I mean, maybe what we've heard Pat Shurmur a lot, as you just mentioned.
Josh McDaniels, John DeFilippo. So you're absolutely right.
Exactly. So we'll see.
They could also – I wonder what DeFilippo – I wrote an article, like, trying to put – together, like, the ideal matches. What if they bring in a defensive coach? They're also interviewing Steve Wilks and Vic Fangio as head coach, and you get DeFilippo to come as the offensive coordinator. Now, maybe he does get a head coaching job, but he is out of his contract in Philadelphia. The Eagles did him dirty last year by not letting him interview for coordinator jobs. I think he kind of, you know, behind the scenes maybe wasn't thrilled with that. So he's going to be a hot coordinator candidate if he doesn't get a head coaching job.
Rich Cimino, we talked that Johnny Morton could be not Johnny Morton. Charlie Morton?
John Morton.
John Morton. Morton, yeah. Johnny Morton
was the old Chiefs wide receiver.
John Morton.
Johnny Morton.
Yeah. Anyway, the Jets offensive coordinator who could be moving to join Gruden in Oakland. The Jets would be interested in DeFilippo, who they were interested in last year, but the Eagles said no. So we could have some musical chairs.
Used to work for the Jets.
In play there. And other news.
Won't miss John Fox. Sorry. I mean, what a boring coach.
Well, like you said, he's had three
chances.
There
was one game where he was like super animated this year, and everybody was like, whoa, John Fox, look at you having a personality. And then that all went away again.
Nice guy.
And why did John Fox get a third job? Because he went to the Super Bowl with his first two teams. Maybe Peyton Manning really took the Broncos to the Super Bowl. But usually you have to have some level of success in those first.
Yeah, Caldwell been to a Super Bowl too.
Yeah. Moving on, Dean Pease, the defensive coordinator of the Ravens, who's saw his defense, let's face it, collapse on their last play of the season when Andy Dalton knocked the Ravens out of the postseason, angering many, including Chris Wessling and also perhaps Colleen Wolf, because, Colleen, I don't know if you're aware that we had stuck a fork in the Bills, who, of course, advanced to the playoffs when the Ravens blew that game. And as we had all agreed upon, if we forked a team that made the playoffs, we would make a charity donation. And furthermore, and this calls back to Mark's ref earlier that you were doing very well financially.
Very well.
You would be handling the charitable donation to the Western New York area. So just something to think about.
That's great. Okay.
Yeah. I'm sure your family lineage just send you birthday checks in excess of.
That's all. I mean, I'm growing money on trees basically right now. It's great.
Better be a big gift.
Well, maybe you could join the Bills fans that have donated over $100,000 to the Andy Dalton Foundation. So it's not.
I like that story.
It's not
maybe match that donation.
It's not technically
a
Buffalo area, but this is what the Bills fans have gotten behind. And we've got, you know,
I love that.
We've made fun of the Bills fans over the years sometimes, or had some fun with them for their pregame activities. But what a great job by the Bills fans helping out this charity, which helps, I think, underserved kids.
That's a good one. Bills fans, me with some charities.
What's the charity, Greg?
The Andy Dalton Foundation.
Yeah, it's the Andy Dalton. Okay. Everyone
it's not clear who they're helping, according to Greg. But
no, it's totally clear. I just wanted to make sure. I think it's disadvantaged kids with serious illness.
Well, that's good to help them. That's nice.
I know everyone's all fired up. Oh, now we have to watch the Bills in the playoffs. But everything else about this story has been great.
Yeah.
Right to this charity cause now. Well, a lot of Bills fans, just for the record, are donating $17 to the Dalton Foundation to match the 17-year playoff drought that they had. So a great story.
Oh, yeah, you could do like 1,700, Colleen.
Yeah, you should definitely do a multiple of 17.
Cool. That's
all right.
Great. Is that a write-off?
Let's check out the opening and the video show. You can check it out. So the openings as of right now, as we spin forward in the NFL.
Six of them.
Six job openings. The Giants, the Bears, the Lions, the Colts, the Raiders, and the Cardinals all looking for head coaches. And that could get beefier, that list. We'll see.
If you're watching on the video show, I really like how they put five in one column. And then a second column with just one.
The Cardinals.
Very pleasing and symmetrical
to
the eye.
What are you going
to
do?
Taking shots?
What are you going to do?
At the graphics team?
Wow. I said
it was very pleasing.
That's a
Costas
move to go after the behind-the-scenes
very much
on the air. That's how you make them
just said
really
it was very pleasing to the eye.
Christian, your takeaway on that. Oh, knife to the heart.
He doesn't like it. There are a couple teams hanging out there. The Bengals, we still don't know about. The Tennessee situation, I think that Mike Mularkey could still get fired even if they lose this week. And now maybe you throw the Packers into that mix. That would be the number one job. There's all these columns like, what's the best job? I would say the Giants. But how about the Packers if you get to coach Aaron?
Greg could not be more excited about the concept of Mike McCarthy being canned.
I think Greg has some type of inside info.
Overrated, boring to watch. Let's unleash the most talented quarterback of all time with a more inventive head coach.
Okay. Calm down.
Greg's gunning for that job, actually.
And Vance Joseph. This is a bit of a surprise that he is staying in Denver. You know, he never chased bad money, but guess what?
I'm glad he stayed.
John Elway says, I'm going to stick with my boy. I trusted him. I hired him. He's my guy. I'm going to give him another year and hopefully get him a quarterback. Well, that's the hard part, John, because Peyton Manning ain't hitting free agency. So go find somebody.
Well, they're going to be one of these teams that gets stuck trying to find a quarterback in the first round of the draft.
Just like the Patriots in a couple of years, because you sent Jimmy G West for 50 cents on the dollar.
They have the number five pick, but there are some free agents possibly available, especially
Kirk Cousins.
Yep.
And I would think the Broncos will be high on that list of teams going after him. And it's good they didn't fire him because it's all Elway's fault. He's the one that hired Joseph. You give him 1 year. He's the one that wanted Mike McCoy, who he then fired midway through the season.
Well, look,
he's the one who gave him Paxton Lynch.
Elway recruited Peyton Manning, and no one else could have done that the way he did, so he will never be looked on negatively because of that and what happened after. But his drafts, if you look at them, from one to this one, have been really suspect.
I would have looked at him much more negatively than I do now if he got rid of Vance Joseph. I just think it would be completely unfair to give him only 1 year with the situation he was dealt.
That's fair. It seemed like he was a goner, though. And,
yeah.
And so it was a surprise, ultimately. So Joseph gets another shot. But really,
he's got some guns, by the way.
By the way, it's not as. But here's the other take.
Some guns?
Yeah, they showed the little video of Vance Joseph. He's in a little workout shirt there. He's got some prominent muscles.
A little workout shirt.
I get everybody's letting him off the hook because Brock Osweiler and Paxton Lynch and your boy Trevor Siemian, who I guess now is terrible. But but what if they don't get a quarterback next year? Do you have to keep Vance Joseph again? Because it would be the same reasoning.
I think it has to be a special circumstance to fire a guy after 1 year. And I don't know if I don't see that special circumstance. I mean, Todd Bowles has had a terrible year as a head coach. A lot of head coaches have had one terrible year.
Take a look at the rosters. I mean, I don't think Todd Bowles had a terrible year.
I just mean his second year. I'm saying, like, you can live with one bad year.
That was a little defensive there.
Well, I'm a Jets fan.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah. Okay. All right. We're good. Yeah.
Get off my back, birthday girl. Finally, Hard Knocks. Oh, yeah. Hard Knocks. Everyone else is excited about the playoffs. All I can think about is premium cable in 8 months.
This is your playoffs.
Yeah, this is my beat. This is my corner. So the way it works is everyone should know by now that they decide. In 2013, the NFL passed a provision that made appearing on Hard Knocks mandatory for a team if they did not fulfill one of the three provisions. They have a first-year head coach in place. Then you could be excused. They have a playoff berth in the last two seasons. You could be excused. They have appeared on Hard Knocks in the past decade. You could be excused. So if you load those in with all 32 teams, It eliminates 26 of 32 teams. And what you're left with, people, here are the six teams that could appear on Hard Knocks this season.
Last six standing.
And if we go by last year, at least, the Bucks were on this short list and they got picked. We'll see if it happens again. The 49ers, the Broncos, the Browns, the Chargers, the Ravens, and the Redskins all can be compelled forcefully to appear on Hard Knocks. And I wrote in a piece I wrote on the End Around, I feel like just like last year, there could be a temptation to go with the Browns with the added juice this year that they're coming off the 0-16 tragedy and drafting a quarterback first overall. You know, Hugh wants those cameras in the building. But I think the 49ers, are the juicy pick because of their history. They've never been on the show. Jimmy Garoppolo, the five-game winning streak to end last season. John Lynch is probably going to spend some money and bring in some more name brand talent. That seems like a really good choice.
I love that one. I would absolutely be excited to watch that, especially with Jimmy G and Kyle Shanahan. That would be amazing. I think that would be a great season.
I wonder if Kyle Shanahan would want it. Typically, these coaches
probably
don't want this at all.
No, but the ownership, maybe. They seem kind of like they could use a little brand
it's
building, for lack
publicity.
Of a better word. They haven't. I know Jimmy GQ is definitely helping in that area, but it's not they've struggled to get people to drive to that stadium, which is nowhere close to San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know the Bucks had a bad season, but that gave them a huge pop in terms of like the football cognoscenti. Everybody was interested in the Bucks during the show's run. Because of all the social media bites that came out. And if you actually watch the show, I don't know if people watch television anymore, but the Bucks really came off well last season. I think it's a good PR for your team and it's fun. And if you're a fan of the Jets did it in 2010, it's a lot of fun.
I mean, I had no idea that Gerald McCoy was so hilarious until Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
That him and Chris Baker.
I do wonder if by August, after we go through the process of, you know, breaking down the offseason 7,000 times over, that the Jimmy Garoppolo and the hype around the Niners is going to be at a fever pitch. They close the season out with nonstop wins.
It would have any.
Oh, I'll be picking that.
I'm just wondering,
is there Hard Knocks?
I don't want the Ravens. The Browns I don't want either, to be honest, but I think the Browns are compelling. If you're into watching like the most netherworld team on the farthest reaches of space be examined over the course of 5 weeks. And, you know, the Niners are a nice story, too.
HBO could go off the board, too, if another team volunteers and really wants to be on the show, like the Jaguars have reportedly raised their hand over the years.
I believe
like,
the Falcons
they can do it.
Said that they volunteered
right.
as well.
That's the thing. Is
what would,
if it's,
really?
It's only they only have to make one of these teams do it if a team doesn't kind of want to do it, that HBO agrees that's a good choice. I mean, it's
got to we got down to just six teams that they can force to do it this year. What if it ever happened where there were no teams?
Is that mathematically possible? I guess it
I mean, well, let's say every one of these teams had fired their coach now, then yes.
But then once we get out of the last decade situation, like
then the universe collapses into itself.
Some teams,
I'm wondering,
this isn't also law. Like some teams, Scott McGlewen, the old Redskins general manager, said it doesn't matter if the Redskins are on that list. Dan Snyder, as long as he owns the team and Bruce Allen's there, they're never going to be on Hard Knocks. They would just refuse to.
Oh, okay.
Like, I don't know what that.
But see, but we don't know that because it's an NFL rule that they put in. So that would mean that.
What are they going to do? Take them to Kangaroo Court?
I know, Greg. All right, that's what's happening in this Kangaroo Court.
I'm just saying, if you want to make us think about it, they could just be like, "No, we're not doing that."
That would be called anarchy, though. Why put in any rules if that's something that could happen? I don't know.
That's
maybe
a higher
right.
philosophical yeah. question
because they all agree to it,
yeah,
including the Redskins.
Yeah, they also, you know, they agree on a lot of things that they
right. are going to make a Redskins
about over the year. No,
I wasn't talk a little
there.
Controversy?
I was going to talk about they also all agreed to give Roger Goodell a big contract extension and raise, and things happened after that. But
right,
life happens.
But then he eventually did get it. He got it. So way to go, boss.
So are you saying the Redskins could be on Hard Knocks then?
Your point has come full circle, and I'm utterly confused at this point.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. It is time now. Go get my lunch, you turd. Every year. Every year, every single
chewing.
Year.
I hate that drop.
We do this.
It's awful.
But this year it's special. First of all, you know why it's special? Because Go Get My Lunch season recap is presented by Head and Shoulders.
It has a sponsor.
Oh, my God. Great. The Shoulders of Greatness. And you know who has the Shoulders of Greatness in 2017?
Who?
I teased it earlier. And here it comes. The winner, in terms of winning percentage, is none other than Connie Fox, who's good at this.
Oh, a girl who just doesn't understand games on the show and can't follow the rules. Look who's winning now.
Love it.
Wow.
Happy birthday to me.
The inner anger comes out.
Oh, that was so real. I liked it.
Fine.
It is true, though. I forgot that you, most of the time with most of your wagers, have no idea where you're coming down on. And
no.
Yet,
like, I don't understand. Like, you, obviously, you know, the NFL, you're not allowed to gamble. You're not allowed to talk about it.
Never.
I don't even understand. I don't understand the lines. I wouldn't even be able to do it if I could. But I'm leading in game picks right now. So I'm just saying.
Look at you. The future is female. Here are the standings for this season. And let's see.
Ouch.
Colleen first. The old Zeuser had a tough season. And we'll go through all these picks. In a second. Let's go through them, in fact. And by the way, this is all possible because of the great work of Nick Fortier, or Fortier?
Fortier.
Who is on Twitter, at Go Get My Lunch.
Nicky F.
What is his actual Twitter handle? I'm sorry. It's Mark, can you get on that?
I will work on that.
Okay. I want to make sure people know where to go.
Dan's personal assistant.
I know. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Well, Mark didn't seem to be doing anything. I thought he could
Dan
help.
Dan also didn't mention that I'm sitting in third place. I'm surprised we're even doing this segment with Dan sitting in last place. Let's start there.
Overall, I am not, but it was a tough regular season.
There could be a complaint filed doubting Colleen's victory, though.
By the Reds.
Right, let's go through it.
By
let's
Connor Orr. I'm just saying winning percentage, he's in the mix.
Oh, he doesn't qualify. It's like in
– Yeah, he doesn't count, Greg.
In baseball, it's like –
He made one sandwich prop, and he nailed it.
With the batting title, you have to have at least like a third
that makes
of the
sense.
At-bats
that
or
makes
something
sense.
Like that.
By the way
– Yes.
Nick Fortier or Fortieri or Fortierty, Go Get My Lunch. That's the Twitter handle.
Oh, it is. Okay,
oh, wow.
Good. Excellent. Looks Follow
like
Nick because –
It looks like he also has just been engaged or married himself or has a significant other. A very
well, he certainly,
they're so
nice-looking
cute.
Couple. Very cute couple.
He certainly appears to be in love.
Yes, he does.
Just like him.
We're going into
what
a weird time. Place now.
What a great time.
And Christian.
And
here
Christian.
We go.
Christian's in love.
Mm-hmm.
Or, well, can't tell.
Maybe.
He's in love with the film Showgirls.
Did not get him in trouble.
What? You know that.
Oh,
as
God.
We learned from a prior
Christian's
podcast.
Married.
Why are we
He's
bringing
like, I was
up Showgirls again
was
on the show?
All right. Here we go. We'll start with Connie Fox, since she is the big victor in the regular season. And the first one, and she hit a home run here. And Andrew Luck starts fewer games than Mike Lennon. Mike Lennon started two or three games?
Mm-hmm.
About
three.
That?
I think it was three or four.
Three
it
or
was
four.
That last one was the Thursday night game against the Packers.
It seemed like it seems like he started one.
And apologies for the mixed metaphor, but when you go across the board and get a wager from everyone, we call it the Grand Slam. Why not? And
okay.
You got four sandwiches off that one pick. And the theory was, and everyone obviously was working under the theory of what the owner, who was not being quite honest with us, was that, oh, he'll be back soon. He'll be back early.
Nope.
And Andrew Luck, the quarterback, never came back at all. So it ended up being all Glennon had to do was start a game, and that's what he did.
That was my reasoning. That was
very
my thinking
smart.
Going into
got
it.
Got four in. Nice.
Well played. Now, this one, you got one sandwich off the old Zeuser by predicting that the Titans make the playoffs.
Ooh.
Amazingly, okay. Only Dan took you up on
it. Wow, I know.
Came down to the last week. Wasn't pretty, but you got it.
Well, you guys like the Titans.
Yeah.
I don't like the Titans. That's why I was the one that took it.
Usually you go with the field in that sort of scenario.
This was back in the
Mariota. We were awfully
He's
confident.
Amazing. He's awfully the greatest.
Dan never on that train.
But they still did make the playoffs, so there you go. And then here's a good one. If he just would have put it together for a full season, because he was – insanely productive in the back half of the season. Keenan Allen leads the league in receptions.
Yeah.
Greg, would you mind pulling up where we ended up in the receptions race? I think he got...
He was in the top five by the end. He had 102 catches for 1,390
what a year.
Three yards. He finished fourth in receptions and third in receiving yards. So he certainly was up there.
He just got started a little late.
And that one actually wiped out your luck prediction because we all took you up on that. Imagine if
Jarvis
Allen just
Landry,
got warmed
I know,
up a little sooner.
I know.
Jarvis Landry with all those 7-yard catches ended up being first. Larry Fitz at his age
at
was second. And Michael Thomas with a quietly great year for the Saints.
Did Landry get 1,000 yards?
I don't think he did, no.
Who was 18th in receiving, Greg?
Came up 13 yards.
Oh, 987.
I could look that up. I don't
Please
know
do. I like would to, like I'm going to gonna hand out assignments, too.
Please get on that immediately.
18th right. in receiving, Greg, please, now.
So there you go, Colleen Wolf, 8-5. Oh, and you, there is one hanging out there, one pick hanging out there. It won't be decided until the night before the Super Bowl.
Okay.
2017 MVP. You got Tom Brady. So you could end up 9-5 here.
That's great news.
Yeah, okay. I don't know how that works. You get sandwiches from all of us for that? Because that is looking, I would say, likely right
well,
now.
Well, she's not alone.
Wes also has Tom Brady.
Yeah.
It's 50-50. Well, mm-hmm. Greg, a little drama here. We're going through it one at a time.
Come on.
Get on that receiving stat, please. Here. Receiving stat, Greg, now.
18th in the league in reception. Speaking of Wes, here we go. You know his MVP pick is Tom Brady. His
I really spoiled it, though.
All right, Greg. There we go. Oh, what?
Ew.
Yum.
Dan attempting to get through this segment.
The Rams, Wes finished 8-8. The Rams finished the 2017 season with a winning record. And talk about surprise, he got a grand slam out of that, a salami pick.
Nice work, Wes.
All four of us said, I thought they were going to sniff around 500, and they did a lot better than that. What did they do? 13-3, 12-4?
Man, Wes has been singing their praises, I mean, since early in the offseason. And
he was ahead of the game on the team of ATL.
He really
was. We all doubted. They finished with
Well, this was done before we named them the team of ATL.
But he was ahead of the game. Yeah. He did win 11 games after tanking that last one, so 11-5.
He had the Buccaneers allow less yardage than the Broncos.
He lost that one big time.
Lost that
Buccaneers
big time.
That was an odd one, a daring one.
This is one of those ones that probably confused Colleen because the three of us took it and Colleen sat it out. It sounds like one where your head has been spinning.
It's like, I don't know. Everybody else is doing it. I'm not going to.
I mean, he was kind of right that the Broncos defense would not be as good, but unfortunately he picked one of the worst defenses in the league.
But I'm like, Wes must see something. He must know something we don't.
And speaking of Wes, and I really do wish Wes was here right now.
He did very well.
During Sunday's show, I was trying to figure out why Wes was so angry about the Bengals comeback win. Wes's third wager, the Ravens will make the 2017 playoffs.
That changed the standings.
It
if
really
that
did.
Play by Andy Dalton doesn't happen, Wes ends up 11-5, which might be the best record anyone's ever had at Go Get My Lunch. So once again, Andy Dalton and the Bengals stick a dagger in Wes's heart.
I was doing the show and I'm like, why does he look so mad? Why is he so angry? Well, it cost him 3 sandwiches. Once again, Colleen confused, sat it out.
It's all
Dan, Greg,
sense.
And Mark. All took Wes up on that.
Wow.
And,
who knew?
Now we move on to the Sizzler. Mark, you went 9-9. Old even Steven.
Not based on what I offer.
You've got 6 sitting out there that you're going to lose. So enjoy this.
You don't know that about Big Ben.
Pat McAfee will be back in the NFL by Halloween. That cost you 2. Well, how did you not take up Mark on that, Colleen?
I don't know. Why are you questioning me? Just because
here.
I'm the winner, Dan. Don't come at me.
She was. We did Wes via satellite.
I think I talked you into why it was logical.
Probably.
You have Tom Brady won't start more than 14 games. He started all 16, and that cost you 4 sandwiches. So right off the bat, you're 0-6. But
The other ones are just
hanging out there.
Yeah. He's in trouble.
You have Big Ben retires after the season. Colleen did not take you up on that.
Very possible.
Dan, Greg, and Wes all did. You have Philip Rivers as the MVP. That's not going to happen.
That is not happening.
And the NFL will be forced to reschedule an entire week of games. Almost impossibly, Colleen also passed on that.
Yep. I will say, if there had been any year where it felt like something weird could happen, it was this year.
I guess we're giving you through the playoffs for that out of I don't know.
That's
not generosity because he's leaving that out there. Because otherwise you're in trouble.
Well, I like how Wes goes 8-8, and Greg says Wes did a great job. Mark goes 9-9.
But you're not.
And
you're
I'm
going,
a disaster.
You're going 9-15. You're going.
We'll see.
15.
He'll go 9-16 with Rivers as well. Right?
We'll see.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, Greg, 10-9. Congratulations, over 500.
I don't think I got anything right.
Dalvin Cook leads all rookie running backs in yards. Will you stop spoiling things with your inner monologue?
It's not so inner, though.
Dalvin Cook leads all rookie running backs in yards from scrimmage. This is a good one, Greg. But
he was leading it. He was leading the league when he got hurt.
And Dan, Mark, and West took you up. Colleen said, no, I'll sit this one out.
Tough one.
The Patriots will finish worse than 14-2. That's a good one because they finished worse than 14-2, a miserable 13-3 for the past.
Way to go, Jay Cutler. You know, my guy got it done for me.
Dan and Wes, both lost sandwiches there. The Bungles will play during wild card weekend.
Yikes.
Did not work out. They went 7-9. I thought that was going to happen, too, so I didn't take you on that. Colleen and Mark made sandwiches. And the MVP pick, Aaron Rodgers, and you got banged by the injury bug there. The old Zeuser, finally. The Patriots will lead by double-digit points midway through the first quarter of a game right before Halloween. I don't even know what that was, but Mark and I had a sandwich bet, and I lost that.
How strange.
I don't even remember what the game was.
I will look it up for you.
Darrell Revis plays in 2017. Got that. He signed, and he's an also-ran type character.
Yeah, that was one of those side wagers. That wasn't even in the actual show. But, yeah, I gave you a sandwich on that.
By the way, Dan, that was
I was confident.
That was the Chargers game. I don't know where that came from in your mind.
We must have been just talking on the show, and I got fired up about something. Antonio Brown, this one pissed me off, I'm going to be honest. Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant are the number one duo in receiving yards in 2017. I made the mistake, and I lost sandwiches to Colleen, Greg, and Mark, of getting too specific. What I should have done, and I will make note of this next year, I should have said Antonio Brown and the second leading receiver for the Steelers will be the number one duo, but I got too specific. Martavis Bryant did not have a big role. I think he finished with about 600 yards, and Brown led the NFL in receiving. But if I would have had Antonio Brown and Juju, I probably would have won. But I didn't.
Nah.
I didn't, Colleen. Happy birthday.
I don't think you would have picked Juju Smith back.
No, but I'm saying I would have said the number two receiver.
Right. No, I think that's you've learned lessons.
I learned a lesson. This one I got banged on. Jadeveon Clowney gets 12-plus sacks in 2017. He was on pace, and then he kind of fell off the table statistically. I think he was banged up.
I mean, he played all 16 games. He
was banged up.
He just came up short.
Well, no.
He got a little unlucky. I saw a sack at the end of the season. I thought of you that was taken away by penalty.
You know why I think I got unlucky? He had 9.5 with like 4 games to play. And he finished with 9.5. Yep. So I was in good position there, and it just didn't work out. And this one stings. This one gets to the Zeuser. Adrian Peterson and Marshawn Lynch combined for less yardage than the 2017 rushing leader. I nailed this one in a lot of ways. I didn't think Peterson or Lynch would be big time players, even though a lot of people were like saying, "Oh, these guys will be good." They both. Peterson got traded after getting benched. Lynch was hot and cold, didn't really have a big season. However, this, out of all years, was the year where the leading rusher had the lowest total in a long time. And on top of that, the top three guys
since 1990
in the rushing race all sat out week 17, which allowed West to get me by 13 yards.
Oof.
Shoot.
That's a tough loss.
And we all
agreed. That's a bad beat.
Yeah, that is a very bad beat. Yeah. We all agreed with you on that one. That's why Wes was the only one that took it up.
And I had Russell Wilson as MVP, which was looking pretty good until week 15, and then he went away. Darrell, and just to do a little more housekeeping before we say bye to Connor Orr had Revis signing a multi-year contract. He snookered us on that one because it was a Fugazi multi-year deal, but it is. And Tamposi has Julian.
He won three sandwiches on that.
He did. Julian Edelman will play in 2017, and that's not going to happen. Three sandwiches.
Ugly work by Tamposi.
Well, it was impossible. Yeah. He was literally on season-ending injured reserve when she made the pick, and she was like, "No, he'll play.
Doesn't matter."
I was like, "That's the league rule."
All right, we're out of time with Colleen.
That's it.
Sound it.
Oh, we got it. I gotta go, right, guys.
Wait. Before you go,
gotta
Colleen.
Get out of
Hold
here.
Hold on, Colleen. Keep what? That headset on.
Keep it on. Here, hit me up, Emma. It is your birthday.
Oh, this is.
Here we go.
And something special
because
here.
Emma just threw in a package.
All your help.
It didn't break, so it's not a bottle.
Everything that you've done for us.
I'd say close your eyes.
Yeah, we thought, like, what is worthy of the contributions that you've made through this year? We had to think of something that matched.
Close your eyes and put your hands out.
Can we get a.
Should I?
Here we go. Yeah. Here we go. You ready? Close your eyes.
All right.
Here we go.
We're handing it to Colin.
There you go.
Now.
That is
a
red hot beef burrito
that is
from 7-Eleven. And here you go. Here's some ranch dressing.
Thank you.
What a gift.
That's a 7-Eleven burrito presented by Head & Shoulders.
You're not easy to find gifts for, but I think the show has found the perfect gift for you, Colleen.
I'm glad that you guys saw this and thought of me. Red Hot Beef.
Well, yeah, it is hard to come up. You know, the 7-Eleven's right across the street. Not a lot of options.
You guys are so thoughtful. Yeah. Thank you.
A rich spread of ingredients. If you look on, if you when you're during your meeting, just see what's involved in that.
It's, you actually should open it up and just start eating it.
That'd be great.
I'm gonna bring this to the meeting. Thanks.
It is the size of your forearm, so it's gonna be.
You're right.
It's gonna be a delicious meal.
It's longer than my forearm, actually. Ew.
All right. That's it. Connie Fox got to go to some meeting. Doesn't matter. But you know what, Colleen, she's doing the
power rankings
program, which you could watch on Tuesdays on NFL Network at a certain time, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. She's also on Good Morning Football, the weekend edition. Yeah. She's also on Damashek's show, which MGD strangely says like that she's cheating on them, but clearly Damashek pilfered Colleen from us.
I'm in an open pod relationship.
Well.
Just
let them know that.
They're the side
piece. Okay. There she goes. Connie Fox. Happy birthday, and we'll see you. Dinner with Colleen tonight. Celebrate. Gonzo set that up. 9 o'clock reservation. What the hell is that? 9 p.m.
They don't have kids. They hit at Los Angeles at 9 a.m. at the 9 p.m. at the earliest.
Like Italy? Or like, oh, let's have a dinner at 10 p.m.
I think you mean like South Central America where they'll do like an 8-hour siesta, then an 11
p.m. South Central America?
South/Central America. They'll do like an 11 p.m. dinner and they'll eat till 3 in the morning.
I think the Italians eat pretty late too, is what I'm saying.
Oh, those guys know how to enjoy life.
That's not us.
It's a nice thing.
Tim Posey saying Julian Edelman will play. What's
I'll take free sandwiches.
And
let's make her pay
because
up
Nick does such a great job. If you go to gogetmylunch.org, that actually shows who actually owes whom in terms of sandwich count. And check that site out because it also has a fun soundboard where you could hear things like this.
This guy's crazy. Ooh. NFL media bozo don't know nothing. The assignment that I am handing
out. They're all me.
My relationship with the facts not always that strong. Ooh. Edelman, you better shake it off. Oh, my OMG, I swear.
Andrew is obliterated.
So, it also has the all-time standings, Dan, which you have now given up first place to me.
By a small amount, though.
Yeah, it's very close.
I'll get you the playoffs. We will do a playoff prop round. Maybe the Super Bowl, I think we do. That'll be fun. Good stuff. Finally, I want a special shout-out to a listener of the show. He is active on the subreddit. His name is Alex, and I believe he's stationed down in, not stationed like a military member, but he's in South Korea because we got a care package from Korea. And
kind of concerning out of the gate. You weren't here for a day, and we weren't sure if it was South or North Korea. Not looking for
it was just a package with a different type of language. But as it turns out, it was a great care package with all sorts of goodies from that land, and including these masks.
Kakoa, friends.
Look at this.
Oh, split screen.
All right.
So all sorts of stuff, including what I've always wanted to have it because I saw the YouTube challenge. He sent the fire noodles, Alex did, and I tried those, and those are delicious.
And the shrimp-flavored potato chips, which you also enjoyed.
Those were pretty good. I enjoyed those as well, but socks and all sorts of fun stuff. So thank you to Alex. Our listeners are amazing. And that's that. So
gave those socks to Simone. She loves them. She is all over them.
She does she?
She posted about it.
She's all over the socks.
I mean, she's been wearing them nonstop. Wearing them nonstop.
Next time you hear from us, we'll
should change them. Yeah, sometimes.
Next time you hear from us will be Thursday, and that will be our proper Wild Card Weekend preview. And one more big announcement, special announcement, in fact. That was good. For the first time, the Around the NFL podcast will hit the road for a non-Super Bowl or Combine affair. We are going to be at the Los Angeles Coliseum for the wild card game between the Rams and the Falcons. So that's exciting. We're going to
best game of the week.
Yeah, we're going to be on the field. We're going to do a recap of that on Saturday night and, you know, talk to a player. It's all scheduled. Things to be going well. The shadowy league figures perhaps getting this one right, Mark.
They are, and it was voiced to us that this could be the first of many future events. So the sun finally shining on this podcast.
To be clear for the listeners, we're still going to release the podcast Sunday evening after all the podcast, after all the playoff games are done for the weekend. But we'll tape that.
Well, it also sounds like they're going to split this up and make it do some video on Twitter and stuff when we get Tamposi and the group back in the house.
Greg will not be with us because Greg will be in NOLA. Again, he finagled another trip to his stomping
ground. I was assigned to that. I would have been very happy to do the old Rams-Falcons.
But it'll be kind of fun, even though we wish that you were there, Greg. But you'll be in New Orleans, so we'll be boots on the ground in both Los Angeles and Louisiana for playoff games this upcoming weekend.
That's a good sign. We've got correspondents all over the country. I'm your James Palmer from Denver.
Yeah, you're definitely a Palmer-like character. Okay, that's it. Love James Palmer, nice guy. Dan Hans is signing off for Quiet Storm. Connie Fox, the old boss. Congratulations, MVP, for your help. Christian Anderson, you are a good man, Christian
Anderson.
Finally on a good Thursday.